Welcome to the Beer Coasters Podcast, episode 307. An entirely self-absorbed beer show devoted to bringing you the best and worst in mostly American craft beer. I'm sorry.
Oh, you couldn't keep it together.
It was so good.
It's good.
So good.
From coast to coast and every once in a while in between. Now time for solid gold hits.
Self-absorbed beer show from coast to coast and every once in a while in between.
Hey, I'm Dylan, brewer at Cape Ann Brewery, and you're listening to the Beer Coaster.
Hi, my name is Peter Zion. I'm the owner of Alesmith Brewing Company here in beautiful San Diego, and Beer Coasters rocks.
My name is Charles Finkel, and I'm the founder and the president of the Pike Brewing Company here in Seattle. I'm glad to be on the Beer Coaster.
Blah, 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 I want my beer, damn it!
Hi!
That's right, folks. Welcome to the Beer Coasters podcast. We're doing we're doing solid gold hits. We got some gold beers for you. We got some fancy stuff. We got some sparkly stuff. We got the bling bling going on.
Blinded.
We got some beer to try. We got the 20. All right, who's ringing?
Sorry about that.
Beer Coasters hotline.
My bad.
I'm usually a lot better about this. Sorry, guys.
Yeah. One of my fans.
As Beer Coasters hotline.
As my dad would say, oh, one of my fans are calling.
My fan.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the beer we're going to try. Me and Tony are going to try this beer right now. This is the 24-carat golden ale.
Solid gold.
This is a collaboration from Julie Goldenberg, Stone, and Monkey Paw.
Ooh, Monkey Paw.
Out of San Diego, California. We have some other beers that we are going to try this evening. And Toby, you have a beer that you're going to try later?
I do. I'm sticking with the different kind of solid gold. I'm sticking with the 1970s, 1980s R&B solid gold hits. So I'm going to be having Shady Oak Barrel House's Groovalistic.
Oh, yeah. All right.
And the label is out of sight.
Groovy.
It's really out of sight. It's not even. I can't even see it.
You can't even see it right now. You gotta wait.
It's fridge.
You gotta wait
totally
till later.
Out of sight.
Oh yeah, baby. You wait until later.
Which we turn the lights off.
Turn the lights down low. All right, and Tony, what else you got for us?
I'm gonna be drinking the Captain Lawrence Hops and Roses.
Aww. Hops and Roses.
Sensual.
Sounds silky. And I am also going to be trying Captain Lawrence this evening. I'm going to be trying not solid gold, but liquid gold.
Oh, right.
It's a threesome with Mike, Tony, and Captain Lawrence. Oh, sounds hot.
All right, without further ado, let's crack open some 24-karat goodness.
This is a fermentation conversation. Yeah.
I don't know if we were recording, but I did have you caught me with a pre-show beer. It was the Rock of Ales. A little shout out to my buddy Pete that helped me brew that beer, and shout out to the cast of Rock of Ages from the
nice.
Warner Theater.
Yeah.
The official beer, Rock of Ales, of the show Rock of Ages.
Shout out.
Cool.
Shout out at the beginning of the show.
So we should make that the official beer of the official podcast of Rock.
Yeah. And we'll be expecting a care package from Tony pretty soon.
There you go.
If there's any left.
All right. So, let's crack this beer, shall we?
I'm holding it up to the light. I didn't even crack it open yet, but do you have like particulates floating around or?
Yes. Okay. Tiny little pieces of carrots.
It looks interesting.
I don't know. I'm going to crack it, though.
Carrot shavings.
I do have some info on this.
Yeah.
We
mentioned, like we mentioned in the intro, this is a collaboration from Stone. And this is from... What did I say? Julie Goldenberg, Monkey Paw Brewing Company out of San Diego, and of course Stone.
And this is a beer that they actually brewed. This is like kind of what Stone's been doing recently. They've been holding these competitions, and the winner gets a chance to brew this. I think the first go around when they had this competition was the Dayman IPA. It was a coffee IPA from a brewery in Chicago, that. I want to say. So this was, this year's winner, 2015, where they added carrots, raisins, cinnamon, and a Belgian-style golden strong ale.
Ooh, 8.5%, 40 IBUs, and for hops they use Hallertau and Saaz, Czech Saaz. Not just any kind of saws.
No, the Czech saws.
Better Czech saws yourself.
Czech saws. Czech saws. I can smell, as soon as I cracked open the bottle.
Yeah?
I can smell like a... smells like...
Belginess?
Like cake. You know, like a... Not a rum cake, but like an alcoholic cake.
Like a carrot cake?
Like carrot cake?
No, it doesn't.
It is carrot cake inspired.
Yes, I know. But it doesn't smell like a carrot cake. But I can smell like the Belgianiness coming through.
Yeah, I want to try this now. When I first saw it... Sorry, listeners. I will not be participating this time once again. Because if you listen to the Rock of Ales show from last time, this is one of those things where... I'm in San Diego along with Stone, and when these big special releases come out, if I don't pick them up right away, I kind of miss out. And it didn't really sound that appetizing to me. I like carrot cake, but I was like, this just sounds too weird. I'm going to pass. But now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, okay, Belgian style. Okay, the Czech saws hops.
I can say that the hops, they don't sound interesting, but maybe they really have to play a backseat. To a beer like this?
Yeah, with that type of hop variety, it's just your typical German style, whatever. Yeah. It's more for balance, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
And with 40 IBUs, you're not going to be expecting, a typical Stone type smack you in the face.
Right, not tongue-buckling bitterness.
Right.
can you smell that Belgianiness to me? It's like a sweet... Almost like
it's that strong.
It's like
ale.
A sweet medicinal kind of.
Well, strong ales have a little bit of a. They're obviously higher in alcohol, so they have that sweetness going along with them. Rather than if you just have a regular Belgian beer, it may be a little bit more on the bready side, where this is kind of leaning a little more heavy, a little more full bodied, sweeter.
Yeah. I gotta take a sip. I can't keep sniffing.
Cheers.
Taking a sip. Yeah.
Chicka chicka yeah.
Taking a sip, yeah.
See? Now I taste carrot cake.
Wow.
On the first sip, I got it.
Yeah,
it starts to kind of dry up. But
just kind of like a little mini hop profile. So you said Czech and...
Czech Saaz and
Hallertau. Czech Saaz and Hallertau both have very low alpha acids and... for anyone that's listening, if you have a beer that has, these are the very subtle hops, so they're not going to be dominant in this beer at all. Just kind of give you a little bit of bitterness, but not much.
Hmm.
Is there cinnamon and stuff in there too?
Yeah, I mean the spices are present for sure. I mean it's like a cinnamon and a nutmeg, and
there's something else too. It's kind of like vanilla or like a raisin.
Raisins and vanilla beans are also in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that would do it.
That's, you know,
where the vanilla and raisin is coming from, I guess.
I didn't get it until I might have. Maybe this is marketing speak that's getting into my brain, but it says decadent flavors of cream cheese frosting, and I'm kind of getting that like creamy sweetness a little bit, and maybe that's it's a different kind of sweetness.
For me, the sweetness, I'm almost like it almost tastes like I'm getting that carrot sweetness, like if you get a like a carrot juice or carrot like a puree. Like I'm getting some of that sweetness without getting a real like strong vegetal flavor.
Yeah, I agree. I'm getting a like almost like a frosting sweetness along with it.
I wonder if that's what they tried to do with getting that right type of Belgian yeast to kind of pull out that little bit of sweet. Not quite, or like almost turning to like tartness, to give you that kind of cream cheesy flavor.
It must come from the amount of vanilla that they used.
And once again, I have to say, a Stone collaboration. They always are a bit restrained, and I always think the beer comes out better because of it. You know. Like nothing about this beer, you know, punches you in the face. You know?
It's very subtle, and it's you know, they mention a medium dry finish. So
that was
that's the
Crazy Dave always said too about Stone.
I think from the Belgian yeast.
The best beers from Stone and all his favorites were always collaborations. There were never anything that was from Stone's regular lineup or anything specifically from Stone. It was always a collaboration. It was his favorites. So like some of his favorite beers ever, not just Stone favorites, but his favorite beer.
Yeah, I might have to agree. I could say more often than not, the collaborations are...
They've got the money, they got the facility, they got all, you know, hey, what do you want? We're ingredients, let's do it. Oh, you want Madagascar vanilla beans? Sure, we got some in the back. He's going to hand pick them for you. Sure. Sounds great.
We're flying some guy out to Madagascar right now. He'll be back.
They got money for nothing, chicks for free, you know.
Crazy. I don't even know what to pair with this because it's kind of like dessert in a glass.
It's worth mentioning, I think, because when you smell it, I feel like you get definitely there's that sweetness, but you smell almost like the boozy presence, like you're going to really like taste all of the 8.5% that you're going to have, and then once you try it,
it's not
I don't get it there. At all.
You get all the flavors. You smell it and you know it's like this is going to be, you know, you think it's going to be a big strong Belgian beer, and as soon as you take a sip, it's not that. I mean, there's tons of flavor, but there's no alcohol warming. There's no...
No.
It doesn't have a big beer mouthfeel.
Yeah, and shout out to this collaboration for being fantastic on the burp, because I just burped, and it was delicious. Wait for it, Mike.
Hashtag delicious burps.
It's going to happen. If it hasn't happened yet, it's going to happen, and you're just going to be like, hey, remember that thing you said? I agree.
Then
we'll move on to the next thing.
Man, what do we pair with this? What do you eat with a liquid
carrot
cake?
This is dessert.
I don't know if I can pair this with anything. I really don't. I mean, have cake with cake? I don't know.
Nah. I would...
I don't know. If it didn't have that, where I'm picking out after Tony mentioned the cream cheese thing, like having, ice cream in this, I don't think would work. Because it does have a real kind of carrot-y... I mean, all the spices are there, and but there is a sweet carrot.
I think this would go well if you had a little little meat and cheese, if you had like a nice like peppered kind of, I don't know, like a spicy sort of meat to go along with this. Like some nice spicy like capicola or something. Just something with a little bit of a bite to go off with the sweetness. They kind of might balance out.
I'm just going to go with some cold fried chicken. I think the buttery, crispy chicken and this, the buttery, salty, crispy chicken, and then the sweetness of this might be all right. Be an interesting combo to try, anyway.
Day after KFC.
I'm going to pair this. I'm going to change up my pairing. I'm going to pair this with the hot dog that I had last night. I went to this bar called Knuckleheads in Wallingford, and this hot dog that I had was wrapped in bacon, topped with pulled pork and cheddar cheese.
Oh, my God!
And it was a party in my mouth, and that's what I would have with this.
It always makes me uncomfortable when you say that.
You're welcome.
All right. All right, there you have it. That was quite the hot dog description there.
If you had it, you'd understand.
Yeah. It reminds me of the Bratzel.
In
Las Vegas.
Oh, don't remind me of the Bratzel.
Bratzel.
Toby has to explain the Bratzel.
Decadent.
At Big Dogs. Big Dogs Brewing Company. Shout out. They had this thing called a Bratzel, and it was basically a bacon cheeseburger with sauerkraut and a bratwurst cut in half, like sliced in half and put on top of it. And it was on a pretzel bun.
Like a salted pretzel bun.
Everything is better on a pretzel bun.
Yeah. Boom. But then they had another one that they came out with. It was called the Camp Randall, and it was kind of like the Bratzel. It was a little smaller, and it had like chopped up Bratzel with this like it was like a sweet pickle sauerkraut thing. Oh, dude. The Camp Randall, I think it was newer than when you were in Vegas. Something like that. Yeah. Oh, dude. It was knockout. Loved it. The Bratzel is killer.
Just got it on the burp.
And?
It's delightful.
Right?
Hashtag delightful burps.
Delightful burp.
All right. I'm going to keep sipping on this beer. And we're going to move on to
Contribute?
Some other things. Well, yeah, sure.
Contribute with some untapped ratings?
Absolutely.
All right, the 24-carat golden ale from Stone Brewing, Monkey Paw, and home brewer... What's her name?
Julie Goldenberg.
Comes in at a 3.5 out of 28,641 ratings. Top three popular locations to enjoy this beer is the Three Monkeys in New York, New York.
Three Monkeys.
Cooper's Seafood House in Scranton, Pennsylvania, right down the street from Dunder Mifflin. And Sutry's High Gravity Tavern in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Oh, yeah. Tennessee.
Tennessee.
Tennessee. Tennessee.
What do you think, Toby?
That's it. That wraps up our fermentation conversation this week. 24-carat golden ale from the Ladieth Man. We'll be back right after this.
Tennessee.
Lord, I've really been real stressed. Down and out, losing grass. Although I am black and brown, problems got me pessimistic. Brothers and sisters keep messing up.
Gemini Lounge. A chill new cocktail bar in Portland, Oregon. A gourmet bar food haven with creative cocktails, happy hour specials, drink specials, and great local beers on tap. Don't forget to go to beercoasterspodcast.com, click on the Gemini Lounge logo, and print out your free draft beer voucher. Gemini Lounge is committed to supporting local and eco-friendly options. Local handmade and vintage art on the walls, and even 75% of the building materials were purchased from locally owned businesses. Located at 6526 Southeast Foster Road, Portland, Oregon. Great tunes, good vibes. It's Gemini Lounge.
And now out west, it's time for Toby to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we?
Oh, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen.
Gentlemen.
This is Beer Coast of Toby out in San Diego, California. And for my very, very sexy beer this evening, I don't know. I am trying a new brewery. That's right. This is Shady Oak Barrel House. They're from Santa Rosa, California. Their website is shadyoakbarrelhouse.com. And the beer I am trying is Groovalistic.
Nice.
Because nothing says solid gold hits like Groovalistic.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a heavily late kettle hopped Belgian style farmhouse ale brewed with Brettanomyces. The hops are Mosaic.
Did you say heavy?
I said heavy.
Oh. Is there something wrong with the Earth's gravitational pull?
Let me grab my little luchador here. Come here, little luchador.
Watch this bottle receive that luchador.
In a headlock.
Grab my little luchador.
Where you going?
I don't care what you call it. Put it back in your pants.
It won't reach. Not going to work on this one. That's weird. All right. I'm going classic. This guy.
Oh, nice. I got.
All right.
Got mine too.
And the label on this beer is fantastic. I mean, it's got like. It's got this dude who looks like 1970s Herbie Hancock. He's laying on a pillow of.
If Herbie Hancock played a saxophone, it'd look like Herbie Hancock.
He's laying on a cloud. Yeah, he's got
with
like I don't know
makeup on his face, right? Like,
yeah, it's like almost like some like tribal
it's like an M and a racing stripe or
makeup face paint,
some tribal.
And he's got the sax on his lap and the beaded necklace and the funky pants awesome. And no shirt. He's laying on a pillow of clouds and sun rays behind him. It's Groovalistic, baby. Wow, this is
funky pants.
Light. It's like champagne.
Oh my
colored.
Goodness!
It's seriously.
That's lighter than an Anheuser-Busch product.
It's like light. Super light champagne color. That is crazy.
I thought this was a solid gold episode. What the hell are you doing?
Hey, we're drinking champagne up in here. There's nothing wrong
Not
with
Not clear
a little
as crystal.
You know what I'm saying? But yeah, I mean, it's.
I think you lost, boy. You lost. You used to be on the bubbly show.
You need some solid gold, like 24 carats. Like this, baby, right here.
I got a sustaining head, but it's just a film. And it's very clear, like super, super clear. And not. It's a few bubbles coming up in there. But man, that is clear and light in color. Super light in color. Wow. All right, on the nose. Ooh.
Smells like glass.
It's beer. It has even has
no smell.
It even has a champagne-y kind of nose. There's a grapey, like a white grape. Wow. Yeah, it almost grape. Smells like a Sauvignon Blanc or like a Chardonnay or something like that. Wow.
What are you smoking?
Hey, seriously.
Are you sure you got a beer for this show?
This is beer coaster,
it seriously
buddy.
Smells like white wine. That's amazing. And it smells like a good white wine. It even has like kind of like a buttery citrus nose. And there's something else in there. There's like a little bit of a doughy something in the background. Yeah. I mean, it seriously, if I was blind tasting and I held this up to my nose, I'd be like, this smells like a nice white wine with some sort of doughy something in there.
Effervescent doughiness.
A little doughy in the behind.
That's my favorite kind.
Taking a sip, yeah!
Hell! Wow! Hey! Hit me!
Like a slap.
Watch yourself.
Slap bass, funky.
It kind of has a little bit of that band-aidiness.
Slapping the bass.
And, yeah.
Uh-oh.
Like band-aid and...
That's not good.
Well, I mean, with the Brett and the all that kind of stuff, it's kind of expected, but it's not really too bad. I mean, it's funky. It's got this strange funk happening.
It's like those off flavors, you know. This one tastes like the cow got into an onion patch.
Oh, man. What is that? Yeah, this is very reminiscent of some vinyl. You know, like a 12-inch. That's what I'm getting on the tongue is a little bit of vinyl.
You just say you were getting 12 inches on the tongue. What the hell are you talking about?
I'm talking about LP, baby. I'm talking about 1977.
Keep talking, buddy. I'm sorry.
Talking about 1977 12-inch vinyl LP. Solid gold hits. On the tongue. No, but it has kind of like a plasticky, band-aid-y, and then there's a little bit of some kind of like grassy. It's
you're not selling it well.
I wouldn't.
You had me at dough in the behind.
I mean, now it's starting to get even lighter. I mean, there's even less of that. Doughiness, and the doughiness really only shows up in the aftertaste just slightly, but it's mostly this like band-aid-y, plasticky, almost like a, what do you call it, zest, a little bit of a lemon zest or something in there, and a grassy something. It's very I mean, I don't want to say like springtime reminiscent, but it definitely has.
Well, I mean, if lemony band-aids remind you of springtime, then go ahead, you know.
Yeah.
Reach on.
And it's not sour. It's not really tart, you know, like what you would get out of a Brett type beer. It's not. It doesn't really have that. It has more of the. Of the other stuff that you get from a Brett type beer, less of the like fruity sour tartness and more of the band-aid-y medicinal type stuff. So maybe the process that they used in adding it to the beer and the timing was maybe off, but I don't know. I mean, it's not bad. It's not a horrible beer. But as far as a food pairing goes, I want to stick with obviously lighter foods, but maybe even like a like maybe carnitas, like carnitas tacos or something like that.
Okay.
So like light Mexican food, nothing too spicy, nothing too bold and rich, but just like you know, like a light carnitas taco, and maybe a little bit of spice in there, but some vegetables, you know, garden salad, maybe.
I'll just have the salad.
Maybe some cheeses. I mean, it might go well with some lighter.
Some manchego, maybe?
Well, one of the users on Untappd said sulfur wet blanket lemon rind.
Hmm. Sulfur wet.
That wasn't a very positive review.
Alright.
Speaking of Untappd.
Yeah, go ahead and hit me with some Untappd.
Do it.
Untappd comes in at 3.4 out of 112 ratings.
3.4, wow.
Popular locations to drink this beer. There is one, and that is the Brew. It's coffee bar. It's coffee and beer at the in Santa Rosa, California.
I get two others. No?
No.
I only see one.
You can rattle them off.
The Pint Size Lounge in San Rafael, California, and Jupiter in Berkeley, California.
Oh, man. That really means this beer is just out of sight, man. This beer is far out.
It's out of this world. This beer is,
well, you do remember the description. I mean, Jupiter makes sense.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, baby.
Check out the website if the listeners are confused.
All right, y'all. Well, there you go. That is the Groovalistic from Shady Oak Barrel House in Santa Rosa, California, right up there with our good friends, Firestone Walker.
Walker.
Walker. Firestone Walker.
And, yeah, man. I'm looking forward to trying some other stuff from these guys. But anyway, there you go. It's Groovalistic, and it's a solid gold hit show. And up next, we got somebody else who's going to try something to do.
I do declare that it's my turn.
Aces and Ales, Las Vegas's premier craft beer destination. With 22 beers on tap and over 80 rare bottles, you can even get growler fills. Go to beercoasterspodcast.com, click on the Aces and Ales logo, and print out your free draft beer voucher. That's Aces and Ales, now with two locations. Visit acesandales.com for more information. All killer, no filler.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, up next, from Hartford, Connecticut, tasting his beer right here on the Beer Coasters Podcast, we've got the very talented, let's give it up for Tony Leone, yes.
11! Okay. Toby didn't record that earlier. So, welcome to my tasting flight. This is Beer Coaster Tony out in Hartford, Connecticut, and I am drinking the Captain Lawrence Brewing Company's Hops and Roses. There it is, right there.
Ooh.
Oh, beautiful.
Slick.
Sexy.
It is slick.
Now that's a groovy label.
Oh,
groovy.
Yeah.
A malt beverage aged in oak barrels with rose hips, elderflowers, and hibiscus.
Oh yeah, those older flowers. You know, the much mature ladies.
They are the younger flowers. They're the elder flowers.
Yeah.
We
like our flowers more mature on this podcast.
seasoned flowers. This is
experience. Yeah.
It is a brewery out of Elmsford, New York, and I think they've been brewing since '95. Question mark?
Elmsford.
Whoa.
Now, Elmsford does not sound sexy.
Elmsford. It's hard to say, and I spat all over my computer.
But it does sound mature. It does sound experienced.
Their website is CaptainLawrenceBrewing.com. This is...
I hate to break it to you, Tony, but that is not a microphone. That is your bottle of beer.
Is this on?
No.
Is this on? Hello? Check.
Be careful with that.
Check one.
Testing.
Check one.
One, two.
Oh, I'm so sorry. This is an American wild ale. Wow. It says American sour ale on the label.
Yeah.
Oak barrel with Brettanomyces and a few choice flowers.
See, so I wasn't too far off when I was picking my beer. I got a beer with Brett, and it was an American type of wild ale, you know? And Tony's got one, too.
It looks like it was, like, handwritten on as far as when it was bottled. I don't really know what that says.
What is that, like, Japanese kanji for...
Bottled in 15, beer? So maybe it was 2015. I don't know. But I appreciate the effort if that's what it is. So shout out Captain Lawrence Brewing Company. All right. As I said, it's American Wild Ale. ABV is 5.5. It is a golden ale aged in oak barrels with Brettanomyces.
Now, for you new listeners to the beer theme, Brettanomyces is not a dinosaur.
Do we need to call up the beer jargon guy?
I don't know. Is he available? I thought he was. We couldn't afford him anymore.
Yeah, he moved on.
I think he died.
Once he got popular, he's, you know, that's it.
I think he died. Couldn't afford him. Jeez. All right. He didn't have a funeral or anything.
Here we go. Ready for the...
I believe he was assassinated by the Ostrom brothers.
Oh. That's very possible.
Big Gay Scott release here.
It's a... Ooh! Yeah. Ooh. I forgot about that.
Oh, shout out to Big Gay Scott.
Big Gay Scott.
All right. I'm going to do a quick thing. You go ahead and talk about your beer.
It is red. Wow. It's ruby. Do a thing? It is definitely ruby on the pole.
I'm doing a thing.
I don't know how much the you guys can see that, but it is way past amber, and it's looking red, looking ruby. Got some, probably about half a finger of head. Looks like a whole lot of bubbles going on.
Come on over, baby.
Whole lot of bubbles going on. Kind of has it like that, almost like a champagne bubbles. There's a lot. Head retention is pretty good. Decent lacing on the nose.
That's a fancy glass you got there.
Yeah, I like that glass.
Yeah. It's like a Lost Abbey glass.
Treehouse.
It's a treehouse.
Oh, treehouse, yeah.
This is going to be, I think, Puckerfest 2016. It smells, and I'm into sours, and Pucker not everybody is. I'm instantly excited about this beer. What?
Puckerfest 2016.
2016.
Puckerfest. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Puckerfest 2016. Which yeah.
We should do a show. Sour show.
Yeah. I'm there.
I mean, you just get a lot of that Brettanomyces. If that's, I mean, obviously that's one of the yeast people use to, you know, for sour beers. That's what I'm smelling right now. It is shining through. It almost has like a sour peach kind of smell to it. A little bit of a sweetness.
That's what I was hoping for in the groovalistic.
Now, did you say that you sour did not, peach. You don't get Captain Lawrence?
Out here?
Yeah.
No, I don't get Captain Lawrence.
Ooh.
Oh, I mentioned earlier that we haven't had any Captain Lawrence in at least a few years. I've just seen it start to pop up, I would say, within the past year or two.
Huh.
I do declare we may have a beer trade on our hands.
Yes. All right.
All right. The nose smells fantastic. Sour, peach, kind of fruity smell to it. Head is more or less gone away at this point, and I am salivating for a sip, so I'm going in.
Taking a sip, yeah!
Oh. So, Mike, do you think that these guys are, like, on a hiatus for a little while? Or maybe they did, like, some rebranding and came back and...
No, I couldn't... I don't know if I mentioned this while we were recording or not, but back in 2009, one of the guys at my old work had gone to New York and said that, you know, he said, I have to try these beers from Captain Lawrence. And he actually went there and brought me back this beer. And it was the Smoke from the Oak, which I think I did on the show, right? It was the talked about it
earlier. It was a Barrel Age show back in 2010, yeah.
Okay. But at that time, Captain Lawrence wasn't being distributed into Massachusetts, so I don't know when it actually got here. I just recently started seeing Captain Lawrence on the shelves within, I mean, I said the past year or two, but I'm thinking more along the lines of 6 months or so.
Okay.
So I'd be curious to know when they started distributing to Massachusetts.
I'm surprised. It's right there. It's in New York. You know, you'd think that you'd get it, but...
Yeah. But I mean, even between me and you, I mean, you know, between Massachusetts and Connecticut, there's a lot of beers that you're surprised that, you know, we don't get them, you know?
Very true.
They don't cross state lines. Treehouse.
Yeah.
Not too far away.
I mean, I can't even get Treehouse stuff. I'd have to drive out to Treehouse to get their stuff, you know?
Yeah. Now I know what to send you. All right. I got some Treehouse downstairs.
Woohoo!
So, yeah, the nose is just fantastically sour. Exactly what you want in a sour beer. On the my first sip, as is most any sour beer, extremely puckering to me. But I've since taken like maybe two or three more sips, and once your taste buds adjust, it's a little bit more drinkable.
And it's really a lot of peach.
Mm. Yeah, a lot of. I am getting like a lot, like apricot or peach flavors from it. It's this golden ale aged in oak barrels with Brettanomyces and some elderflower. So there's no specific like use of, you know, a certain fruit or anything like that. But I wonder if maybe I couldn't find the hops that they used, but that is quite possible that they used a certain kind of hop that reflects like a, you know, a very, you know, certain citrus fruits. Mm. Yeah. It's with any sour beer, like I said, your taste buds adjust. It starts off being sour, and once that kind of adapts to drinking it, it's a little bit more of a drinkable, you get like a fruit juice kind of taste to it. Like I said, you get like that the peach and the apricot, maybe like mango kind of comes through.
Okay.
This thing is... It's very good. It's refreshing. You know, it's got, you know, I always find that a sour beer, like in the summertime, like you're, you know, mowing the lawn or something, you want to have like a Festina Pesh from Dogfish, or even like a Goes has that little bit of like a kind of funkiness to it, like that little bit of a sour. Local place around here, Backy's Brewing Company, makes a delicious tart cherry Berliner Weiss. That is probably your ideal lawnmower beer, or like, you know, cookout beer, where you can just kind of, it's like 3.5% and it's delicious.
Yeah. Yeah, Berliner Weiss, it's a good style for summertime.
Yeah. One of the styles that I would love to learn how to brew, but you know, with Berliner Weiss, it's always a little dicey because it is a sour beer, and there's always that risk of if you brew a sour beer that things could get contaminated, so I never kind of want to explore that.
Yeah, it seems like a more advanced style to kind of dive into.
Yeah, you know?
It seems like the potential for you know, the margin for error starts to grow, I think, when you get into styles.
If you use the same sort of equipment with like Berliner Weisses and like you're trying to make an IPA, you might find that your IPA gets a little soured.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Once you start, you can't go back unless you buy a whole new system.
Well, it's even like Allagash. I want to say something happened up there, or maybe I'm thinking of a different brewery, but things got contaminated, so they literally built an entirely separate warehouse, and that's all they do is like all their sour beers is over there.
Wow. Yeah. Here in San Diego, a Toolbox up there in North County, they, I think when they originally started, it was just a normal brewery, but then they decided to do a couple of sour beers using Brett, and then now they're an entire Brett brewery because of that, I believe. You can still kind of find their like Imperial Stout that they did when they first started, but it's pretty much everything now is it's an all Brett brewery.
Yeah. Mouthfeel on this is as you sip on it and things adjust, it comes across as pretty dry, fairly clean, as if you're drinking just like a regular, like kind of like fruit juice. I feel like it's refreshing because of the tartness. It is a interesting beer. Food pairings on a sour are always kind of bizarre to me. I don't know.
BLT pizza?
See, I always like the creamy stuff. Like I like the cheesecakes and that kind of thing with the sour beers.
I can see that.
You know, just like a really kind of creamy vanilla kind of desserts with the sour stuff. But either that or, I mean, it depends on what kind of sour. Like if it's a really kind of berry kind of sour, then.
You know what this might actually go well with? Stuff. I think this might go well with Ben and Jerry's Tonight Dough.
All right.
Because dough? Ice cream, yeah.
Ben What's and Jerry's tonight dough?
Tonight dough.
What's in it?
Tonight dough.
Is it like cookie dough? Cookie dough ice cream?
What is it? Look at the actual description here.
Putting you on the spot.
Put me on the spot. Caramel and Johnny chocolate ice cream with chocolate cookie swirls and gobs of chocolate chip cookie dough and peanut butter. Cookie dough.
Oh my god, I want it.
It's kind of the best thing ever. Although I will
can we get it tonight though.
I want it tonight though. I was a fish food fan growing up.
Yeah, I like the fish food.
This is also fairly delicious. So that is my pairing. It's a weird pairing, but you brought up a very good point, Mike, with it being kind of like that vanilla kind of creaminess could kind of play off this. Well, almost like you're having a cheesecake with that, you know, topped with like cherries or something that's like really tart. Yeah. I see where you're going with that. So, that'll do. That'll do my tasting flight. Untapped. Untapped. Out of 1,287 wow. ratings, it ranks in at a 3.9.
It's not bad.
Similar beers, as I previously mentioned, the Back East Berliner Weiss.
Wow.
This one in particular is actually their Blackberry
Berliner
Weiss.
You were totally cheating, bro. You were totally cheating.
Did not cheat. I did not cheat. Popular locations, I only have one. Eli Cannon's in Middletown, Connecticut.
Where's that?
Middletown.
Have you been there?
Middletown, Connecticut. Yes, Eli Cannon's. Let me tell you, one of the things that they have at
Tony
Eli Cannon's,
knows all Connecticut.
Well, I know yeah. a lot of.
He knows he's been everywhere.
It's his
Eli Cannon's.
He's the official, unofficial Connecticut beer. What is it? Official, unofficial Connecticut beer spokesperson, I think is what it is.
Nah, it sounded cooler. Yeah. I don't know what it was, but it was something like that.
Something like that, but cool.
But yeah, so Eli Cannon's has this.
I'll be right back.
Oh.
Please continue.
Okay,
I'll be right back.
I want to hear about Eli Cannon's.
If you ever come to Connecticut, this has got to be on the list of things, the places to visit. You go and they have these jalapeno poppers. Are you a fan of jalapeno poppers?
Oh sure, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Who isn't? But yeah. What you
I've
do,
been drunk at a sports bar a couple of times.
What you do is you get them done Russian roulette style.
Oh, damn. Thinking,
oh, damn. And they basically put about like 10 or so on the plate. One of them is injected with Dave's Insanity extra hot sauce. So you and whoever else is involved in this whole shenanigans, which is, it sounds like a good idea at the time, but let me tell you, it's not. But you do it anyway. You take a popper and you eat it, and you know right away whether or not that has the hot sauce, and it absolutely destroys you for about 10 minutes. The funny thing is that the first time I ever had it, there's 10 different poppers to pick from, and of course, I'm the jerk that picks the one. And I'm like, holy crap. Like, I guess I haven't had jalapeno poppers in a while, but man, this is ridiculous. My friend's like, he picked one. He goes, they're not that bad. I don't know what you're complaining about. I'm like, my mouth is on fire. I don't know. Maybe I can't hang. I don't even know. Because I picked the one.
Yeah.
But yeah. It's pretty fantastic.
Nice.
Especially when you're the one that doesn't get it. Shout out Eli Cannons. And a very good beer bar, too.
Who beans?
Thus ends my tasting flight.
Aww. Yeah.
But the good news is that we're going to stay with the Captain Lawrence theme and pass it right over to Boston, Massachusetts.
You know, drinking beer and being social is a big part of what we do here at the Beer Coasters Podcast. So we'd invite you to join us at any number of our internet social websites. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, Untapped, Google+. We got our own channel on the YouTubes, and even Pinterest. Hot damn, y'all!
Back east, we've got Mike drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one.
Well, hello. Welcome to my tasting flight. Time for some more gold. Some liquid gold. That's right, folks. This week, I am also doing Captain Lawrence Brewing Company. I'm doing the liquid gold. This is a Belgian-inspired ale, I think. Captain Lawrence out of, where'd we say? Where in New York?
Elmsford.
Elmsford, that's right. It did not found Tichy.
Good old Elmsford. New York.
So this is a Belgian ale brewed with spices. The IBUs are 15. And the alcohol on this one, the ABV is 6.5. I'm going to crack it and give you a little ingredient lift. For malts, they use Canadian two-row. For hops, they use Crystal, Columbus, and Cascade. And for spices, they use coriander. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Spathe Belgian. I once knew a Spathe Belgian.
What was her name?
I don't recall. All right, so here we go. I poured it. It's pretty clear. Not as light as Toby's beverage, but I don't know if that's even possible unless you had a glass of water.
Toby was drinking wine.
He cheated. Yeah, this is, man, this
could be
mistaken for any macro lager.
I can see your fingerprint through the other side of the glass.
Yeah, yeah. The head dissipated very quickly. Got a thin little film on top there. On the nose. A little citrusy. So some spices and some citrus.
Well, Captain Lawrence says, don't let the golden color fool you. So.
Yeah, well, I'll be the judge of that. I mean, it has a very kind of light Belgian essence to it, you know? It's got like that Belgian aroma. Something almost reminiscent of like a wit, but not quite. Like, you know, there's something that's not quite... I was going to say not quite witty about it, but that doesn't really make any sense.
Bogo beep bong.
Taking a sip, yeah.
So what's with the fire, the flames behind the barrel on the Captain Lawrence logo? I mean, what is that about? Are they like firefighters or?
Now we got to look into the history of Captain Lawrence here. Come on. Yeesh.
Why is the barrel burning?
Let's try to find out, shall we?
That's cool. You talk about your beer.
Alright, I'm going to talk about my beer. You can read up on Captain Lawrence. If any of our listeners want to read up on Captain Lawrence Brewing Company, it's CaptainLawrenceBrewing.com. Really kind of a straightforward, I don't know, it's like a Belgian golden. It's like really light. It has some nice, it's got that Belgian-y quality to it. Like you can tell it's got the Belgian yeast in there. It's a little bit sweeter. There's the spices. I'm getting some of that coriander. It's like there's a slight pepperiness. but it's like refreshing. It's not filling. Oh, it's got something else going on here. I mean, there's not a whole heck of a lot going on in this beer. I know this isn't like one of their, you know, limited series. I think this is kind of like their regular offering. I actually got this in a 6-pack.
Yeah, you see that a lot, that one.
Yeah. I was actually going to see if this is even part of their seasonal or if this is like part of the regular. I mean, yeah, Liquid Gold looks like it's the year-round series of beers. Everything looks like it's up in flames here in Captain Lawrence Brewing Company labels.
I can't find anything about it, so.
There's got to be something, because everything's in flames. I mean, the pumpkin is up in flames.
The logo the barrels is on are up fire. In flames. Yeah. Maybe he was a firefighter? I don't know.
That's what I'm thinking. Captain Lawrence.
Hops and Roses is a pretty kind of trippy flames there. I like that.
Maybe he it's was kinda cool. He was the captain of the fire brigade or something.
But yeah, I mean, it's not one of those beers that I can kind of sip and dissect, you know. It's good. there's not a whole heck of a lot to say about it, except I mean, you know, it's that lighter Belgian style. It's got, you know, some of that citrusiness and the spices and all the things I mentioned previously. I don't really know exactly what to pair with this. Kind of want like some kind of sausage and potato stew of some sort.
Hmm.
Like a maybe a, like a creamy potato with some like sausage. Let me give you some stats.
They're actually saying that the Flaming Barrel is an old logo. Here.
Huh.
As oh, actually. No, that's incorrect. I don't know. This is as of like basically a year ago, the Flaming Barrel is going away, but it's clearly not. So I don't know.
Yeah, it seems to be very present in the beers that I picked up and all over their website.
Yep.
So who knows? Maybe there's some rebranding coming from Captain Lawrence.
I mean, if you look at Captain Lawrence in like the top left, there's a logo that doesn't include a Flaming Barrel. So maybe that's what they mean, but. This is a newer beer, this Hops and Roses, and was bottled in 2015, and there's a Flaming Barrel, so I don't know what to tell you.
Hmm.
Yep. Oh, no.
Untappd rate says 3.46 out of 11,389 ratings. And here 89? Come the hiccups.
89?
Yeah. 11,389. That's what I said.
Oh. You said eight ratings.
Yeah. Here we go again. Popular locations to drink this beer are Iron Abbey in Horsham. I'm sure I'm saying that wrong.
Horsham,
Pennsylvania. New Bedford, Massachusetts. It's the Poor Farm Tavern in New Bedford, Massachusetts. Also, Stoddard's Fine Food and Ale in Boston. And I can't talk anymore because I'm just going to continually hiccup all over the microphone. There you have it, folks. Hope you enjoyed my tasty flight with some Liquid Gold.
We'll be back. Yeah, I'm sure the lady has enjoyed it.
The method. Juiced.
Yeah. Thanks. Okay, we'll all be right. Back. Okay, bye. Yep.
It's the tweet of the week. Yeah. At Keisha Lang says, on a cleanse. Or more specifically, I stopped drinking beer on weekdays. Tweet of the week, yeah.
Time for some backwash. Let's check the Beer Coaster's email and hotline. Yeah.
All right. Come on. Someone start with the backwash because I don't know what's going on.
Oh, okay.
Who, Tasting Niche, is that Tasting the Tasting Niche? Who sent it
LOL.
To
LOL.
Yeah, Tasting Niche.
Okay.
Tasting Niche
on YouTube.
Backwash. Okay. LOL. Total Nerds. Sideways Heart. I came for the singing, stayed for the toe of eyebrow.
Nice. Thanks there, Tasting Niche.
Thanks
for calling
niche.
Us. Total
you
Nerds.
Son of a niche.
We appreciate it.
Yeah, because when we were doing the Rock of Ales show, I don't know, Mike went on this weird thing about like, because we said like a finger of head, and Mike was like, why do we say a finger
the toe of an
head,
eyebrow?
Like a chin of toe or a toe of eyebrow.
Toe of an eyebrow.
Anyway.
Good call
so
out
Tasting
Niche
was watching us on our Google
What a
Hangouts.
Total nerd.
Yeah.
No, we do appreciate all our listeners. That's pretty cool.
That's awesome. Yep. Rock on, buddy. Rock on.
Actually, Tasting Niche is a girl.
What?
Well, rock on, girl.
Oh, that's a good idea. We'll have to work that out. I have more to say about that in last call.
All right. More about the ladies.
Hey.
At last call.
Let me just turn down these lights. And
right.
Get
well,
on
speaking
the last
of last call,
why don't
we just move right on to last call right now?
But first, I want to say...
I guess not.
If you want... Since we haven't done backwash in like a year or
you
so...
You want to plug the backwash?
I want to say... Yeah, I want to plug the backwash. I want to say, if you want to get a hold of us, there's a ton of ways. You can email us, backwash@beercoasterspodcast.com. You can go to the website, beercoasterspodcast.com. You can click on any of the shows and comment and whatever. You can hit us up on Twitter. We are Beer Coasters Pod. And Google Plus. You can friend us on there, Facebook, all that stuff.
Toby's direct mobile number, which I'll give you right now. I'm just kidding.
And, yeah, so, I mean, anytime somebody comments and says something like that, like it'll get thrown into our backwash segment. So, there you go. Backwash.
You're saying we're going to bring backwash back? Is that what we're going to do?
It's whenever we...
We'll bring in backwash back.
Whenever we get some backwash, sure. But it hasn't happened in like a year, so there you go.
I think the hotline is down. I think the hotline's been canceled.
It must be.
Paying for
where's the hotline? If I was to call the hotline tomorrow night, where would the hotline go?
It goes to
right into Mike's pants.
What?
Okay.
I was wondering what that.
Hope the phone is on vibrate.
I wonder what that buzzing was. So we have had backwash for quite some time, and it won't go away. All right, so send in the backwash. We're gonna do some last call.
All right, everybody, last call.
Oh yeah, this is the Tibetan throat singing last call.
What is it, a didgeridoo?
Wow, that was cross-culture explosion there. All right, who's first up?
I drank the Captain Lawrence Hops and Roses. If you're a sour beer fan, I would highly recommend giving this a try. It's nice when you see a beer like Captain Lawrence do something kind of like a one-off like this, because they have, they have a wide gamut of different beers. They have pumpkin beers and IPAs and different, they have a triple. Sour is very unique, and to have them go out and try something like this and have it be, honestly, as effective as I thought it was, good for them. Shout out to Captain Lawrence for making it happen. I would recommend this beer. Give it a try if you can get it, which I guess I'm the only one of the three that can at this point.
but that might not be the case because I know where to get it and I know where you guys live, so that might happen. But yeah, no, it was nice. It had that like that sour kind of like punch in the mouth, but then once your taste buds adjusted, had that nice kind of fruity juice, refreshing taste to it.
Fruity.
So out of the five pints,
is the ladies' man's like best friend.
Out of five pints, I'm gonna give this a 4.5.
Wow.
I was impressed. You know, when I see a beer like Captain Lawrence, truth be told, like, I think it's going to be good. I'm not going to be wowed. I was impressed. I was happily impressed. And I would definitely get this again.
Nice.
Yeah.
Now, was this, did we talk about this in your tasting flight? Was it a seasonal release or like a limited release?
Yeah, this is definitely limited.
Right.
One of their limited releases. Yeah. So hard to find, and luckily I came across it, and it was a golden ale, which fits into the solid gold episode, and has a little bit of funk in it, so it just fit right in, like it was meant to be. 4.5. I dig it. We also did the 24-carat ale from Stone, Julie Goldenberg,
yep.
I'm remembering it, I don't know, in front of me, and Monkey Paw. I was, again, with a beer like Stone that is pretty widespread, you know, you think, can they really be that unique with, you know, their offerings? But like you guys had mentioned, you know, having a collaboration is kind of the best thing for especially larger breweries if they're willing to kind of take a risk, you know, and the fact that they're doing this whole homebrew competition thing, I think is fantastic because you're going to just tap into different beers that you never thought were possible and...
Yeah,
you're gonna, you know, feed off of like what these other people have experimented with and clearly have done a good job in doing. So, you know, very cool that they're reaching out to these like smaller names to make a cool beer happen. So I was impressed. I'm gonna do another 4.5. I really did not have high expectations. I didn't. I was like, okay, well, it's. It's a collab. It's cool. You know, people are going to buy it. And it's a foo-foo kind of beer, like 24 carat. Oh, it tastes like carrot cake. Oh, that sounds funky. Let's give it a try. But, you know, it was balanced. It had that Belgian quality, that nice Belgian strong sweetness. And then when you had it, you know, it wasn't really in your face. It was pretty level as far as, like, the boozy... you know, I thought it was going to be really, really hot as far as the alcohol level goes. And then it had that nice vanilla cinnamon spiciness. And it was like a 5 out of 5 on the burp. So, I mean, let's be honest. It was delicious. So, yeah, 4.5. And Stone collab 24 karat ale. I like it.
For me, the 24 karat, I'm going to basically kind of piggyback off of a lot of what Tony was saying. I think it's a great beer. When I pick this up, when I see golden, for me, it's kind of a turnoff. So I was probably expecting even less than you were, you know, with this beer. I didn't know that it was going to be have so much of that carrot cake flavor, and it was balanced and it had a great kind of Belgian yeastiness to it that was just really well done. And yeah, I think we've talked a little bit about it before, you know, during the recording, that the collaborations really do Stone some justice. So I am also going to give this beer a 4.5. I really, really liked it. I can't remember the last time I've had a beer that had a carrot cakey flavor like that, you know. I mean, we've had beers with spices and whatnot, but it seriously had a carrot cake flavor to it, and it was good.
Nice.
For my tasting flight, for my liquid gold, it was a good beer. It was nothing that stand out, you know, stood out in the crowd. I don't even think that was this brewery's intention for this. It's a year-round offering. It's a nice kind of fresh tasting Belgian ale. I'm going to give it a 3.5. but I would buy this. I would get this on tap. It's a good beer. It's just not one of those that's it's not going to stick out. And but everything they did with this particular beer, they did well. So I'm giving it a 3.5.
I feel like the is it Liquid Gold? Is that what it is?
Yes.
It's one of those beers that you easily can look over if you're at the bar and there's like 10 things on draft, but I'm never disappointed. Yeah. Like if I'm like, oh, you know what, I'll get the Captain Lawrence Liquid Gold.
Yeah,
it's delicious. It's a great beer.
Yeah, I mean, I have nothing negative to say about it. I really don't. I mean, it's a fine offering indeed.
Indeed, I do declare it is indeed.
And last but not least on the list. Toby chewing. That's it, folks.
The BLT pizza.
You're going to hear Toby chewing for the next 20 minutes and that's the end of the show.
Well.
Let me show you something.
Oh, that's just nasty.
Well, I'm just waiting for you to chew and swallow, buddy.
All right. Well, unfortunately, I didn't get to try the Stone 24 Karat Golden Ale because it sounds pretty tasty, and both you guys gave it a 4.5. I'm pretty bummed that I didn't pick it up when I did see it. But having said that, the Shady Oak Barrel House Groovalistic.
Such a great name.
It's not bad. A couple of things I forgot to mention in my tasting flight is that it's bottle conditioned and it's 5.2% ABV. So when I got to the last portion of the bottle, I got all the sediment and everything, and so it clouded up the beer. It wasn't as clear as it was. Only got a little bit left here, but it's still
not lemonade.
It's still super pale. Excuse me. Now I'm hiccuping.
See what happens.
But, I mean, it's...
Make fun of the hiccuper.
Hashtag right nostril.
I'm gonna go with a 3.
Don't forget the Band-Aids. You don't want to knock someone off for the
Band-Aids. Yeah, no, it's not bad. I mean, it's kind of... I was kind of not really expecting that, but I wasn't too terribly thrown off by it, so...
Gotcha.
Yeah, I think I'll go with a 3 because it's drinkable. It's interesting. It's a little funky. It's a little different. But what can you expect from a beer brewed with Brettanomyces? So you kind of know going in that it's going to be a little funky. I kind of wish that it was a little not really bigger of a beer, but bolder and a little bit more flavorful. But other than that, I mean, I don't know. It just wasn't. It wasn't too exciting. I guess I was hoping for it to be a little bit more exciting than it wasn't. So I'm gonna go with a 3. I mean, it's worth your time checking out. But yeah, I mean, it was like 12 something a bottle. But this is at a premium bottle shop. So, but then again, I don't know if you'd be able to find this type of beer at anywhere. You know, you're not gonna find it in a grocery store. At BevMo or something, maybe, I don't know, but anyway, expect to pay $12 for a $7.50 and it being, you know, not bad. So anyway, three pints,
nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah,
that might wrap up last call, but we do have some shout outs. Who wants to
Mike,
start?
Mike, you got some shout-outs. Why don't you go ahead and do your shout-outs?
I do have some shout-outs. I don't remember where my shout-outs start, but I will find them.
I think you start out at Trends and
Trends
Beer.
And Beer. That's right. I want to give a big shout-out to Trends and Beer. Also, Mothers 2, Bigfoot, Physics, Jane Davidson, and also Cthulhu for America.
I'll give a shout-out to Tasting Niche, who gave us some backwash this week. Tasting Niche, if you're not familiar, she has a YouTube channel, and she's a beer geek like us, and she's pretty cute, too. And she's tasting beers, and she's in Paris, and She's fun to watch, and she does some cool like beer reviews and whatever on YouTube. She's got a YouTube channel, so check her out. So I'm going to give a shout out and a plug for the Tasting Niche YouTube channel, and it's NITCH is what she goes by. So yeah, check her out. And she's commented and stuff in the past on beer coasters like years ago, and that's kind of how I found her. Okay. So she commented on some stuff, and so she's been around for a while. Check her out. I also want to give a big shout out to Mel Mann, of course, on Untappd. And big shout out to Beer Coaster Charlie, who just proposed to Tiffany.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
So they will they'll be getting hitched pretty soon. Here we are, almost 40. And yes, we still have friends that are getting married.
You said yes, right?
Okay. Yes, she said yes.
I guess so. I didn't even think if she said yes.
We'll do a special show for them called the Nuptials.
Nuptials.
There you go. And also give a shout out to Alpine Beer Company and Curtis B on Untappd as well.
Is that like Curtis Blow?
Might be.
I got a few shout outs. I got on Untappd, we have Terry, Heath Galinas, Matty G, Mark C, Tom M, and Matthew Lapoli. On the old Twitterverse, shout out to Black Hog Brewing, Lisa Carroll, Carrie Johnson, Keith Rice Radio, Nancy Sasso Janis, Anna Chacon, Dan and Kristen Del Ferraro, The Sweet and Sweaty, Noble J Brewing Company, and Beard Brewing. And most of all, a shout out to one of my fellow co-actors in the Rock of Ages show we just performed, the one and only narrator, the dramatic conjurer, Michael King. Thank you. Thank you.
Bravo.
Don't stop believing. Don't stop believing. Hold on to that feeling. Street lights, people, whoa, whoa, whoa.
And that about wraps it up, folks.
There it is.
We hope you enjoyed our solid gold hits this week. And stay tuned, Beer Coaster listeners, because we got some stuff coming up. We're going to bring you more shows with more beers, because that's what we do. And remember, folks, this is your show. We're just drinking it.
There it is.
Cheers.
Yeah.
I can't clang because my dishes are in the sink. My dishes is in the sink.
Is that a metaphor for something?
Oh, you bet your doughy backside.
Doughy backside.
Boom.
I knew it was something like that.
I think it was doughy backside.
I knew it was doughy something.
Doughy backside.
That's my new band.
Nice.
Paul's America. Whoa.
Do it.
Hey, we had one viewer.
Thank you for listening to the Beer Coasters Podcast. Don't forget to go to beercoasterspodcast.com for all your beer coaster needs, with over 300 episodes for your listening pleasure. Please send us an email at backwash@beercoasterspodcast.com, and we'll see you next time. Cheers!
Your hands, everybody, if you got what it takes. Cause I'm Curtis Blow, and I want you to know that these are the breaks.
I thought this was a solid gold episode. What the hell are you doing?
A little doughy in the behind. Did you just say you were just getting 12 inches on the tongue?
I've been drunk at a sports bar a couple of times.
And I can't talk anymore because I'm just going to continually hiccup all over the microphone. Oh, you bet your doughy back, Thad.
I think you lost, boy. You lost. You used to be on the Bubbly Show.
It's solid gold. Mmm.